Thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters. Subject for the moment is something I've been interested in for years, 30 years, 40 years. But it's something a lot of people don't even think about. It is part of our food chain, and when you talk about feeding the world, they always consider rice and wheat seem to come to the forefront. But in a good majority of the world, folks, half of it at least, maize, corn, is what gave them the ability to survive both in the good and the bad times. In Maya creation myths, the gods created humans out of corn. Now, a new study from a site in Belize suggests corn really was extremely important to the origin of the ancient Maya. More than half of their ancestry can be traced to migrants who arrived from the south sometime before 5,600 years ago, a long time ago, and brought with them new cultivars of a plant we call maize. Incidentally, folks, just most people are aware, I'm sure, the indigenous people in Mexico actually call themselves people of the corn. Anyway, back to the story. The previously unknown migrants were the first pioneers who essentially planted the seeds of the Maya civilization, which emerged, as far as we know, about 4,000 years ago. This is according to archaeologist and co-author of this article. I'm pulling the information from James Awe. He's an archaeologist from North Arizona University. He's also a native Belizean and of Maya descent. Without corn, there would not have been Mayas, according to him, or Mayans, you might want to say. The study also suggested that in Europe, farming in the Americas spread at least in part with people on the move rather than being passed among the cultures. The paper is, quote-unquote, groundbreaking as a revelation because Maya archaeologist Mary Pohl of Florida State University says it's information we've never been aware of before. At its height, Maya civilization spanned a third of all of Central America and Mexico. Today, the Maya are ethnolinguistically a group of about 7 million still indigenous peoples. Awe and others have long wondered how the ancient Maya were related to those who came before them. But the hot and humid climate had left few clues in bones and other DNA. This new study analyzes remains from two rock shelters in a rainforest in the Bladen National Reserve. That's in the southwestern part of Belize. I've been down to Belize a few times. There, archaeologists have unearthed over 85 skeletons from shallow graves in the rock shelters and that happen to have dry dirt floors that help to preserve DNA and things that were before this time difficult to find. From those finds, the archaeologists directly dated 50 individuals with radiocarbon dating to between 1,000 and as high as 6,000 to 9,000 years ago. Then, population geneticist David Reich of Harvard University and his team extracted ancient DNA from 20 other individuals. The oldest human DNA from a tropical rainforest, Reich says. They analyzed 1.2 million nucleotide basics and compared them with DNA from ancient and living people from the Americas. The DNA of people buried at the rock shelters were from 9,600 to 7,300 years ago, resembled that of ancient hunter-gatherers in the Americas. But after that 5,600-year period, there was a major shift. All 15 individuals tested after that were most closely related to indigenous people who live today from northern Colombia to Costa Rica and speak a language called Chibchan. That migration had a lasting impact. Living Maya have inherited more than half of their DNA from this influx from South America and northern Central America. The team reported this week in Nature Communications, and it eventually led to a new diet. Researchers had previously analyzed carbon isotopes from the teeth of the people in the rock shelters, showing the kind of food they ate. As reported in this magazine, in the Science magazine that I'm quoting, they found a steady increase in maize consumption over time. Maize was less, listen to this, less than 10% of the diet of the ancient hunter-gatherers. But between the years 5,600 and 4,000, about 1,500 years, its proportional part of the diet that was used by the indigenous people went from that small amount, a few percent, up to 10% in a few places, and as much as 50% in a good part of the country. The shift happened hundreds of years after the migration, but the team says the results fit with the emerging story of maize cultivation. The plant was partially domesticated as early as 9,000 years ago. In southwestern Mexico, it's thought to be the very first spot, but it wasn't fully domesticated for thousands of years. Instead, farmers first developed larger, more nutritious cobs in South America, more what we're used to. And at about the 6,000-year period, sites in Peru and Bolivia were becoming more and more dependent on maize for their existence. The work tracing the origin of the Maya also illuminates the roots of one of the world's greatest crops. This latest study really seems to transform all knowledge of just how maize was dispersed and how important it was in American society. Kind of seal my corn thoughts. As a matter of fact, I even did another show last week on corn, if you're really into it as much as I am. The scary part is now we're beginning to even genetically modify our corns. We already are. Fortunately, they've been really much more strict in Mexico about it than we are here in the United States. But we do have GM corn now. The problems are not complete, but we know there are some problems. One is to do with nature. It appears that the way they are hybridizing, or actually what they're doing, folks, is gene splicing. In other words, they're genetically modifying our corn. Now, why does that bother me? If everybody said, well, what's wrong with GMO? What's wrong with GMOs? We don't know. That's the way we seem to go about things. Throw it out there and see what it does. That's not the way science usually is done. In essence, they've made everybody on Earth that happens to eat corn on a regular basis somewhat of a guinea pig. So by all means, you can get, incidentally, USDA certified organic corn. It's not on the dirty dozen list that I always talk about right now. The reason for that is it's not per se a herbicide or a pesticide. And that dirty dozen list goes in and checks for chemistries that have been put in your food, both as herbicides, pesticides, fungicides, that you end up eating. And there's no doubt that long term down the road, we do not know what eating chemistries and chemical makeups that we've invented year after year after year is going to do to our bodies. It's a relatively new concept. As little as 100 years ago or less, none of this existed on your food to speak of. So anyway, that's why it worries me. Genetically modifying things without enough study probably is going to come back to nip us in our corn. But anyway, let's hit a few more lighter weight factoids to kind of round out this part of the show. As I do each week, I always try to do some what I call organic matters, science facts. Sometimes they're even good news. The Igbo forest in Cameroon is one of the last intact forests in all of Central Africa. It is a biodiversity hotspot, home to hundreds of rare plants and animal species, including tool-using Nigerian chimpanzees, western gorillas, forest elephants, red colobus monkeys, and the giant Goliath frogs. The 600 square miles of mountain slopes and river valleys are covered by thick tree canopies that shelter a fascinating array of species. Dion Ngute signed a decree that turned half of the Igbo forest into a so-called forest management area, meaning that the government could begin to sell logging concessions. Not a good idea. However, on August 11th, Ngute, at the direction of the president of the country, Paul Biya, withdrew the decree suspending all logging plans. President Bahia also ordered a delay to reclassify an additional 160,000 acres of the Igbo, which might have opened up even more forest for logging had he not done it. Apart from its rich biodiversity, the Igbo forest is culturally and societally important for the indigenous people, who consider it to be their sacred ancestral home. The Banin people were ousted from the forest back in the 1960s, but took up settlements just a few miles from its borders. They still rely on the forest for foods and medicines. Meanwhile, the proximity of the forest to the big cities make it an easy target for bushmeat producers. Both conservation groups and the indigenous leaders welcomed the withdrawal of the decree, but remain concerned about the future of the forest. Conservation groups hope that the international community will seize the opportunity to work with the government of Cameroon to make the Igbo Forest a permanent showcase for long-term conservation in harmony with the very challenged communities. And while we're on the subject of forest, there's a new finding that I found rather interesting from Yale University, Yale Environment 360, it's called. Nations around the world are pledging to plant billions of trees to grow new forest. But today, at Yale Environment 360, one of the contributing writers, Fred Pierce, examines new research that finds natural forest regrowth, that is, allowing the land to regenerate on its own, holds far more potential to absorb carbon from the atmosphere and fight climate change than previously estimated. The study identified up to 1.67 billion acres that could be set aside to allow trees to regrow, which would capture an estimated 73 billion tons of carbon in biomass and soils between now and the years 2050, about the time they would mature. This is equal to around 7 years of current industrial emissions, making it the single largest natural climate solution we've come across so far. Not long ago, I had a friend of mine, it's not as nature nerdy as me, and he came across a fact that I had realized earlier. There's more forest right now in the New England area of the United States than there was when we came here. So there are ways to live with it, live among it, and let it live. And it's happening in other parts, even right in Texas. We've got some regrowth that we probably would have thought wouldn't have happened 30 years ago.